what I'm specifically looking at is the number of dollars of imports of specific types of goods into the United States. And so we're trying to get an idea as to the magnitude that we're looking at for these types of goods. And there's a lot of different places where this could show up, because ferrous metal, steel can show up under raw steel. It can also show up under finished goods that are coming in with steel, and same with aluminum. But in the end, what we're talking about here is something on the order of less than $100 billion a year. And if we're talking a little bit less than $100 billion a year, it sounds like a big number, but remember, our GDP is right around $20 trillion. And so it's less than 1%. And so we're looking at something that's pretty small by the overall economy, but could affect individual things extremely. So let's think about that for a second. So here in Michigan, we make cars. We're good at making cars. We make a lot of them. If we look at a tariff on steel of 25% and a tariff on aluminum of 10%, that will increase the price of foreign steel, but it will also increase the price of domestic steel, because people will vie around for that domestic steel and bid up the price. It won't be quite 25%, but it will go up. For a car, we're looking at about $250 to $500, depending on the type of car, in added cost to that car. So let's take the flip side. We just, at the end of last year, had a tax cut here in the United States. And for the average family in Michigan, that'll add, over the next 10 years, about $500 a year. So essentially, if you have to buy a car sometime in the next 10 years, the value of the tax cut is completely wiped out by the increase in the price of the car because of the tariff. And that doesn't include the increases in prices we'll see for other goods, like things that are canned or other items that use aluminum and steel.
The president says there is not going to be a trade war.
Well, we know that historically, when this type of action is taken, it leads to retaliatory action, or in the eyes of other countries, protective actions on their part, which then draw responses on our part. So in the first 24 hours after it was announced, we heard a list of items that were potential targets for tariffs by China and by Europe that were mentioned by names, including things like Levi's, all right, to which we then heard our own administration say, well, we're going to place a tariff on German cars. That, by definition, is a trade war. That we choose one, then you choose something else to put a tariff on, and then we choose something else. That, by definition, is a trade war. So unless it's all bluster in the end, it's classic trade war.
And it's interesting, too, that somehow NAFTA is now being conflated in this conversation as well, that, well, the tariffs would be rolled back if there is some kind of a North American free trade agreement deal that can be reached with Mexico, Canada, and the United States, in which the United States has some kind of a favorable agreement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to connect all the dots here.
Right. This is a movement to try and handle perceived dumping by steel in the entire world. So we've seen three administrations, and this is the third administration, try to take some sort of action because of the perceived dumping of steel products by China. None of them have done much. Part of it is because China is able to sell their goods through other countries, like sell them to Mexico and then have them come to the United States. So the reason that the stated reason for placing a broad-based tariff in this case was so that the place that we believe is dumping steel couldn't dump it to a trading partner and then send it to us without a tariff. Therefore, there's not really an ability to have this trade agreement that would allow for fair trade of steel between North America without reopening the ability for the excesses that we believe that China is taking to then take advantage of that.
It gets very complicated.
Trade is really complicated. And the reason trade is very complicated is that trade leads to an improved value for both countries. That's very hard to gather to begin with, because we're used to thinking that if we get something, somebody lost something. But we wouldn't trade if we weren't both better off. That better off lowers the prices of goods across an entire country, both here and in China. All right. Well, that makes us all a little bit better off. But when we look at a steel worker, they might be worse off. But when we add up everybody in the United States being a little bit better off, that's far bigger number than the people who are heavily affected at a very small area, like the few numbers of steelmakers we have in the United States. So it makes it very hard for us to understand the value that we're getting from trade, because it's being spread like peanut butter across the entire country, where the pain from trade occurs to just a few people within the country. So it's much easier to see that. So we're looking at protecting an industry that's relatively small by U.S. standards, but is integral in many other industries that are extremely important by U.S. standards. Is the trade-off the right trade-off? From an economic standpoint, it's a trade-off that leads to less value for the entire United States. Trade is not a zero-sum game. Both sides are better off, but individuals within each country might be worse off, even though the country as a whole is better off. That's why it gets complicated. So we know that he has lots of friends in the steel industry. So he has perceived the pain that those individuals are having. But he is not perceiving so much the pain of other people who will be hurt by that tariff. You know, the definitive component here is things will be more expensive for us here in the United States. It'll be a small number. It'll be hard to see because it's spread across the entire country and across lots and lots of things that we're buying. But it will be real. And that cost will be greater than the benefit that we receive from doing it. And it'll be hard to prove. So politically, you'll be able to claim victory on either side. It'll be hard for people to see it without using stronger statistical methods and having the skills to see those things. But undoubtedly, this will lead to less trade. It's going to lead to higher prices. It's going to lead to a weaker dollar. It's going to lead to less trade. And the world as a whole will be worse off.
You mentioned the auto industry. You mentioned the price of an automobile and the increase for the average family. Mm-hmm. What will happen to the domestic auto industry? But then also, when we talk about a trade war, what other industries in the state will be impacted?
Well, I don't expect that the overall impact on the domestic auto industry is going to be huge. It's going to increase the costs, and some of that will come out of their profits. Some of that will come out of our pockets when we purchase a car. You know, $500 even in the scope of a new car price probably is not going to change whether I buy or don't buy the car. It might for a few people, but for most people, not. I'm more worried about the next steps in the trade war, because the easiest place to retaliate against the United States is in agricultural products. It's something that here in West Michigan, we send a lot of overseas. And we're already having troubles in other countries just from the change in tenor in the United States about those countries. If we then have them choose agricultural products as the place to retaliate, farmers are far more susceptible to going out of business than a large corporation that has pretty deep pockets and a varied business plan. I think that the damage that we have to worry about here in the Midwest is actually in our rural communities if this trade war actually takes the next step.
See that happening?
I would be surprised if it doesn't happen. It's the correct strategy for the other countries. You have to inflict enough pain. This becomes a war of attrition where you want to inflict enough damage on the other side to cause them to blink. The reason that our administration is willing to walk into this is that they must believe that we can win a war of attrition, that the other people will hurt more than we do, and therefore we'll be willing to give up something that we want. I'm not sure if that's the case, but it is what is being bet on when we walk into this type of situation. The problem is to have a convincing bluff. You have to be convincing, and it's convincing to me that they're going to choose to do this. It's convincing to the other countries that they're willing to do this, and we won't know if it's a bluff until the very last second.
And that last second is sometime this week?
Yeah, right now it looks that way. You know, again, the initial stuff isn't bad. It's on the scope of the U.S. economy. It's going to be a blip, given the growth that we have every year is well above the damage that will be done. So it's a blip. It's the next steps where we end up in a trade war, which start to seize up international trade that we start to lose. Think about it this way. Here in West Michigan, we export $5 billion worth of stuff every year. $5 billion worth of stuff every year. So if you break that down, $1 million worth of stuff effectively supports 10 to 20 jobs. At 10 jobs, that is 10,000 to 20,000 jobs per billion, which comes out to 100,000 jobs exist here in West Michigan because of trade with the rest of the world.
Are you concerned there could be job loss from this?
I think it will slow down the job growth that we see right now, and it will accelerate the need for cost cutting within the firms that are around. We already had steel prices going up. We already had longer lead times to get access to raw materials, and this will push those lead times out and push those prices up faster. That means we have to cut costs elsewhere in our corporations. That might be through jobs. That might be through automation. That might be through finding other efficiencies in how they produce things.